Your Bibles with me, and we're going to turn this evening to Psalm number 25. Psalm 25. Psalm 25, and we're going to begin reading at the first verse. We're told it's a Psalm of David. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my song. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine eyes triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. Meek will he guide in judgment. And the meek will he teach in his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn thee unto me, and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distress. Look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider my enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with a cruel hatred. O keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. May the Lord add his blessing and through his holy word once again this evening. Before we come to look at the word of God, just a few notices for you. Please continue to remember everyone in your prayers who is involved in the work of the church and in the congregation. It's a great blessing to see a number of you this morning and to be able to meet around the word of God in Jeremiah. And we pray that the Lord will bless you this Wednesday. Do join us at the church if you can at 7, when we'll have our Bible study. And that will also be online if you need to watch that remotely. Likewise, next Sunday morning service will be in person and online in the evening. And on Thursday, we'll upload a sermon around lunchtime for you to listen to as well. Well, let's just pray and then we'll turn to the word of God. Loving Lord, how we repeat the wonderful hymn of thy wonderful pardon. Who is a pardoning God like thee, or who has grace so rich and free? We pray that thou would bless us as we come to look at Psalm 25 this evening. Bless it to our hearts. Grant us understanding of it, we pray. Lord, we ask that thou would help us to see the way of forgiveness of sins is through thee. And dear Lord, we pray that we may be able to give this testimony to others too. Others who feel the burden of sin on their conscience. Who indeed see where they stand before Almighty God. And may they find comfort and salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless our time Together bless me as I seek to declare the word of God. May it all be to thy honour and glory. In Christ's precious name. Amen. Well, dear friends, if you would turn with me to that passage that we read just a few moments ago in Psalm number 25. And this evening I want to call your attention especially to verse 11. But in many ways, this is one of the centerpiece verses. And you know, if you have one of those great fireplaces and they might have a clock or something that is right above it that is the centerpiece for it. Well, this verse is the centerpiece of this psalm, and we have unfolding either side of it testimonies to the wonderful mercy of Almighty God towards sinners. And the title I've given my message this evening is Pardon to the Greatest of Sinners. It should be evident by some of the sentences in this psalm that when it was penned, it was clearly a time of affliction and danger for David. For we're told this is a psalm of David. His distress at that particular time had led him to think of his sins, and it leads him to confess them and cry to God for pardon, as may be common in a time of affliction. The psalmist here pleads the greatness of his sins and yet looks to the great mercy of Almighty God. And that can sometimes be the case in the way the Lord brings some people to salvation. They come to an end of a very sinful life that is against the Lord, and they're remarkably converted. Others, not so much. It can be over time, and as they're brought up in a Christian home, they're brought to see Christ as the way, one true Saviour. But we see here especially, the psalmist feels in verse 11, for thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. And often when we are in affliction, when things seem to be in a very difficult state, that is often when our own consciences can make us feel the most guilty. Dare I say, it may well be when the devil seeks to pour upon more guilt for the sins that have long since been forgiven. But the psalmist has a glorious antidote for it here. There are many people who, some who I've met on their sickbed, some who have been going through a great affliction, and this is an occasion where they begin to reflect on the wrongdoing or something that they've done in their life. But what the psalmist here points us to is the great pardon for great sinners. First thing I want you to see here is he sees a need of mercy. He's going through a very difficult occasion. He seems to be struggling. He clearly feels the intensity of his own sin by the fact that he calls it great in verse 11. He is sensitive to that, and it has drove him to, in many ways, a sort of misery himself. He is in verse 7 urging the Lord not to remember the sins of his youth nor his transgressions, but according to thy mercy remember thou me for goodness sake. To suppose mercy without first realizing our sin is a contradiction. Therefore men cannot look upon themselves as proper objects of mercy unless they first know themselves as those who need mercy in the first place. And that is what the psalmist clearly has come to here. He is one who needs to be the recipient of mercy. He has come to the point where he regards his sins as great. The Apostle Paul was to go on later to talk of himself in terms of the greatest of sinners, and he wasn't advocating sin there. Not at all. But he's reflecting on his pre-converted life and maybe after the struggles that he had in fighting sin. Well, that's what I want you to see, to realize the need of mercy. There's a sense by which we must see our state before the Lord. And also, not only must we see our great sin, but that should also reveal to us the sense of the need of a person. They must be sensible. That is, it's a dreadful thing to sin against God. Because you could do a great amount of sin, but if you don't see it as an offense to God, as significant in the sight of God, it won't make any difference to you. But for the psalmist, he is here coming humbly before the Lord. He recognizes it is only the mercy of God that is going to save him. And he is looking entirely to the Lord. He says in verse 16, "Turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Oh, bring me out of my distress. Look upon my affliction and my pain and forgive all my sins." There's not only a sense, a recognition of a need for mercy, that there has been this sin, but this sin is significant before the sight of Almighty God. And that is so important. There is a sense of his unworthiness to stand before the Lord. He recognizes and doesn't claim in any sense here that he has a right to claim his stand in front of a holy and righteous God. No, it's the very opposite, isn't it? He is, in verse 6, urging the Lord to remember thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness. He talks about his trust in the Lord in verse 2. He is seeking teaching from the Lord in verse 4. You see here, he recognizes his own unworthiness and that God could indeed deal with him in a way according to his sin. And he sees that and recognizes that. And it is in that fashion, it is in that humble fashion that he comes to God for mercy, in a right manner, not disposed to find fault with the righteousness of God, but recognizing the fault lies with us. And so we find the psalmist here, seeing his great sin, and it is my prayer that you may know, if you don't know already, that it is only through the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ, through having those sins forgiven, that we can stand before Almighty God when we've seen these things. I want you to look at also here, there is a necessity. There is a necessity of coming to God for mercy. We see that in this passage. The psalmist doesn't go anywhere else, does he? He doesn't say, "I visited this person, and this person, and now I'm coming to you, Lord, and show me mercy." No, he's going to the Lord, and he's seeking the Lord for mercy, to show tender mercy and loving kindness to him. He recognizes this is the only remedy for his sin. And we, as we have the New Testament before us, see that God has supplied his mercy to sinners through the Lord Jesus Christ, that there is a necessity of coming to God for mercy through Jesus Christ. In Christ, we have a basis for the hope of mercy from God. We are to come to God for mercy in and through Jesus Christ alone. And our hope of mercy is based upon what Christ is, what he has done, and what he has suffered. And it is on the basis of all of that we can come to God for mercy for our sins. Let me just think in a few ways in which that is true with regard to the Lord Jesus Christ. We see that in the person of Christ. There's a verse in Acts, I think Acts 4:12, that talks about there is no other name given among men or given in heaven whereby we must be saved but that of Christ. He is the Son of God and the Savior of the world. The person of Christ is sent to seek and to save that which is lost. Secondly, in the person of Christ, we find the work of Christ. We find in 1 John 1:7 that his blood cleanses from sin. That his death on the cross, his physical suffering, and the inward punishment he endured, that we might be set free from the wrath of God. He was so worthy that all sinners who are in him may be pardoned and accepted. They who come in that right manner have all their hope through Christ of forgiveness for their sins. From the consideration of his redemption and the sufficiency of it. And so we come to God for mercy, for the greatness of our sins. And we find there no hindrance to our pardon if we come through the Lord Jesus Christ. For he on the cross was reconciling believers unto Almighty God. And there's some reasons, therefore, for the hope of mercy for the greatest of sinners. As the psalmist describes here, mine iniquity, for it is great. And if we're honest, if we're true to ourselves, we can say that too. Our iniquity is great. But if we indeed know Christ and Christ as the Savior and Redeemer, we have reasons for the hope of mercy, even though our sins are great. Let me tell you 4 or 5 ways that's the case. The mercy of God is infinite. The mercy of God is as sufficient for the pardon of the greatest of sins as it is for the least, because his mercy is infinite. That which is infinite is as much above what is great as it is above the small, because it is infinite. So the mercy of God being infinite must be sufficient for the pardon of all sin as of one. And so the psalmist here quite wonderfully comes before the Lord and asks the Lord to remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness. The mercy of God is infinite. First reason for the hope of mercy for great sins. Secondly, the satisfaction of Christ is sufficient. All the sins of those who truly come to God for mercy, whatever they may be, satisfaction has been made for them. If God is true. Because that's what the scriptures teach us. I quoted from this verse a few moments ago, but let me just turn to it in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. It says it here in plain revelation from God, First John chapter 1 verse 7, where we read, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. There has been a sufficient pardon, a satisfaction. Christ was sufficient to take away the believer's sin. We see that referred to, don't we, once again in Acts 13 and verse 39, where we read, I'll read from verse 38, be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you, this was what Paul was preaching, the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. Christ has achieved satisfaction of the wrath of God for those who know him as their Lord and Savior. If satisfaction has been made for them, it is not incredible that God should be ready to pardon them. In fact, it is a result of it. The sufferings of Christ fully satisfied the justice of God towards the believer's sin. So we have there the second reason for the hope of mercy for great sin. Thirdly, the extent of salvation in Christ. The sinfulness of man was, you might say, ultimately the reason of Christ coming into the world. This is the misery from which he came to deliver men and women, boys and girls. The more as they live their lives in sin, they have that need to be delivered. And as the Lord points out in Matthew 9:12, those who are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. The physician will not object to heal a man who applies to him because he stands in great need of his help. Where he has the facility, the capacity to assist. But we are finding, aren't we, quite distressing reports in these days of other countries where certain medical provisions such as oxygen are running out. But what kind of doctor, when there is an abundant supply, does not provide it? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ has come indeed to relieve the burden of the heavy laden and those that come to him for rest. Fourthly, the glory of grace is a reason for the hope of mercy for great sinners. The way of salvation is for this end, to glorify Almighty God, to glorify in many ways the expression of God's free grace. The greatness of divine grace appears in this very thing we've been discussing, that God by Christ saves great offenders. All of us know the depths of our sinful hearts, and yet those who are believers listening to this message can testify to the wonderful grace of God. How wonderful God has manifested his grace through the centuries of time in saving that man Saul, who was consenting to the death of the first recorded Christian martyr Stephen as he was stoned to death. Yet not long after that, Saul was to become Paul, a converted man. We see the grace of God in saving such a man and then using him to burst the gospel forth through the ancient world. The Apostle Paul takes note of this great grace of Almighty God, the abounding grace of God in God's pardon to him. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13, where we read, "Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy." And it goes on, "And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." And you see there Paul's great testimony to God saving great sinners. Then fifthly, we see the promise of pardon. Pardon, as we see here, is promised to those great sinners who are brought to Christ by faith. They come to God for mercy. That recognize, as we've already established, their own state, that they have great sin, that great sin is an offense to God, and that Christ is the remedy for that. And that there's a reason for those of us who know Christ to have this glorious hope, that there is this wonderful pardon. The gospel, as it's set forth, Christ says, "Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." And dear friend, where do you stand before Almighty God? Do you know the abundant pardon that he supplied to men like the Apostle Paul? To other people who he's wonderfully saved? Yes, they were sinners, but they saw that and they came to Christ, were brought to Christ for forgiveness. It is my prayer that if you do not know that, you may seek him while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him call upon our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Dear friend, you have no need to be fearful in approaching God through Christ because of your sins. It is the very reason why Christ came. Therefore, if your souls are burdened and you are distressed for your own iniquity, that even as Christians, sometimes we can reburden ourselves with things that the Lord has forgiven us for. Let us not be in distress any longer. May we unload ourselves and cast our burdens on Christ in terms of our sinful burden that we could not carry to heaven. But he took that load on the cross that we might be set free. That as the psalmist says in the text, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. It was great. I want you to note here, he does not say, pardon my iniquity, for it is not so great as it was. David was probably converted, most likely, in fact, pretty sure of it when he said these words. He doesn't say, pardon my iniquity, for it is not so great as it was, but he makes no excuses. Pardon my iniquity, for it is great. And the psalmist knew so well that the God he was acquainted with, a man of David after God's own heart, knew that the Lord had tender mercies and loving kindness and would forgive our sins through the Lord Jesus Christ. It is my prayer that you would know that forgiveness, and that if we are believers, we may just praise the Lord for such wonderful, unmerited mercy and grace to undeserving sinners. Let's pray together. Dear Lord Almighty God, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee that there is pardon for iniquity. As the hymn writer puts it, pardon for sin and peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. We thank thee for such wonderful salvation. We pray that indeed, if anyone listening to this may feel it a great burden, and that they may come to a great God, they may find the great mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they may praise God who deserves all the glory. Bless us, dear Lord, and help us always when we think of all the complexities of Christianity, to come back to the simplicity of the cross and our lovely Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. In his precious name, amen. My dear friends, before